You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
JSE has closed its doors on the first day of the first full week for 4 weeks. And it's been an unpleasant sort of day, not so much on the JSE, but elsewhere. Let's find out what's going on. This is the 5 o'clock shadow, and this podcast is proudly brought to you by sharenet.co.za. Populating the 5 o'clock shadow this evening is Greg Davies, chief trader at Kratos Capital. Greg, when we spoke this morning, we said the S&P's futures are down, but we're going it alone on the JSE because the JSE wasn't reacting. What happened subsequent?
Yeah, I actually ran through to a couple of traders and just sort of had a chat after our chat this morning. But why do we think we're just ignoring international markets and it's all put down to local politics? But later in the day, news broke of the ratcheting up of tensions between the US and China. And I've just lost track of how much we are and how many billions of tariffs we're putting on various products. And then the Chinese have retaliated. And that sent, I'm looking at the Dow right now, down 611 points. Mm. Thing to behold. You don't see it every day.
No. Yeah. And the S&P down 75 points at the moment, and it's getting worse and worse. And the other thing that's happening, Greg, is the Iran situation, because there have been a couple of commercial vessels attacked, or rather they call it sabotaged, in the Gulf of Oman. And it seems to be the insidious hand of terrorism that is doing something to disrupt shipping in that arena. And obviously the oil price will therefore benefit to the upside, if you can say benefit. But everything is suddenly going on.
Yes, it does feel like you suddenly just, as you were saying earlier, there's a possibility anything can happen. Oil, 71.36, after pulling back from those sort of was threatening 70.73, a week and a half ago. So, maybe you see that tension ratcheting up as well.
Yeah, indeed. And the North Korean story is not so critical, but it's also in the background. And I wonder how Mr. Trump, with his notoriously sort of sledgehammer diplomacy when it comes to international relations, will handle this. Mr. Pompeo, Secretary of State Pompeo, has cancelled a trip to where did he cancel a trip to? But anyway, he's in Brussels talking about the Iran situation, the Iranian foreign minister on television and saying that we can do this and we can do that to the United States. We know what happens. Of course, nothing happens. It's just a load of bluster and you buy into these dips. But it's a bit of fun for the volatility traders. Let's put it that way.
Certainly. And, it's a game of chicken, really. And some of the traders were saying, there's no way Trump will let this run into next week without a resolution. All you do is buy the dip.
Yeah.
But you never know if there isn't another dip waiting. And it looked right on Friday, but now it looks like a mistake. You just can't go into any trades here with any conviction at the moment. Perhaps maybe you can, maybe with something like Sasol. But in general, everything else, even if you seen good company earnings, you still have to be careful now.
Yeah. What do you do about Uber, for example, Greg? Uber is a company that has plainly said it's not going to make any money. It lists on the New York Stock Exchange at $45 a share or whatever the IPO price was punted at. And it's suddenly another 7-8% down this evening after a really bad debut yesterday, I think it was. So this is, it's almost like 2000 again.
Yes.
And
there's always one
geopolitics stock at the same, everything's coming together at the same time.
There's always sort of one stock which is a bridge too far. I mean, you wouldn't have thought either. So it actually is a reasonable business model. But as you say, I told the market they're not going to make money for some time. Still trying to work out how they're going to do that. But the speculative money, which would have bought something like Uber, seems to have been frightened off a little bit for now.
How often do you use Uber yourself?
Oh, so just about every weekend now.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. As I was saying to David Shapiro earlier on, if I lived in Cape Town, I would move to a flat in the centre of Cape Town and I would not own a motor car. I would have Uber because it's so cheap in South Africa. It's a fantastic, fantastic service. Not so much in South Africa, because often, I don't want to be nasty, but if you get the bottom of the range Uber, their driving skills are dubious and their cars are fairly stinky. But the point is, it's a great service.
The people have come to driving sort of later in life. You know, so you and I were jumping behind off, stealing our dad's car at age 16. I think a lot of these guys learn to drive at 35, and you can tell. I actually use 550 steps from my office to the middle of Rosebank, but very often I catch an Uber just to feel how it feels to be a Zoomer. You know, you're sitting at the back,
yeah.
Someone's driving, you could read a newspaper, and you hop out, it's 25 rand. Which seems worth it. So.
You don't need to own a car. Greg, give us the indexes if you were starting with the banks.
Banks down 0.37.
Not bad.
Financials down zero. Yes, so it's sort of selling on you, sort of got going in the afternoon. Financials down 0.44. Industrials actually managed to be slightly green, up 0.09. Retailers down a third of a percent. Gold index, that's interesting, up a third of a percent. The gold price in all this sort of chaos picked up to 1298 on gold. It might be a theme going forward. Platinum down 2%. Resource count is down 0.69. The oil share down 0.72, which is 407 points down. And then we changed the handle on the Aussie, 56,374. So we've had a battering of the last couple of days.
Indeed. Let's have a look at some of the results that came out this morning, Greg, because amidst all this international shenanigans, we've had a couple of results that have come out. And Vodacom was the first one. What happened to Vodacom? Vodacom Group Unlimited preliminary results for the year ended 31st of March. You have a close family member who works for Vodacom. What did the share price do? I think it did rather well.
Yes, it did. But keeping in mind going into these results, it was back at 100 and I think it closed Friday at sort of 112 area, which is kind of a recent low. And so almost a relief that the numbers weren't that bad. The share price was telling us, finished at 114.97. That's up 3.2%, but that's into the teeth of all of this selling that we've seen this afternoon from international markets. It did make a high during the middle of the day around 116.75. So it was pushed down probably by international markets, but still a good performance for Vodacom.
Calgro came out with its numbers, Calgro M3. This was a company that I thought was actually sort of a pioneering company when it came to housing, etc. in South Africa. It came out with its results today. But I'm looking at the screen and it says 0% move. So did it not trade or is it just flat on the day?
Flat on the day. It didn't trade. The last printed trade was at 5.95. I've got a buyer for 3,000 at 5.50, a seller for 5,500 at 5.80. I've got a good mate that's the financial director there. I'll give him a call tomorrow and see why his shares aren't trading.
Exactly, or why he's listed on the JSE Securities Exchange. Optadec Investments, unaudited interim results. Optadec, it's a property company, I understand.
Yes, yeah, but mostly properties around Pretoria, which is obviously mostly leased out to government.
Yeah.
It's the Wapnick family. Yeah, the share price on those results, up 1.25 at 19.75. Again, not much volume going through there. 48,000 shares, just under R1 million worth of shares trading. So, these property stocks used to be the darlings, seem to have fallen by the wayside.
These small caps don't really entice you anymore because there's no sort of give and take. I mean, it's almost as though people are saying to themselves, well, it's just Naspers and British American Tobacco and Richemont and Vodacom. Let's forget about all the other ones. There's no vibrancy when it comes to the small and mid caps, Greg.
You're right. And I think what's the reason for that is the emergence of these, you know, these ETFs, these structured products where you're getting a little piece of BTI and a little piece of MTN and all sort of selected stocks. You don't really need to be a stock picker. It's sort of a lazy man's way of picking stocks when you just want to ride on, you know, on the market's tail, really. But for someone to go and sit and study Octodec, you need to get a property analyst. To go through the numbers, people just don't want to do the hard work these days.
Yeah, if I was an analyst and I saw the name Octodec, I'd automatically be put off. I'm not being funny, but it's a silly name.
Yeah, I can't buy a share with a silly name.
I can't buy a share that sounds like something that should be in an aquarium. Astral Foods, chickens. Let's talk about chickens.
Yeah, Astral Foods, I mean, we spoke this morning and the numbers weren't that good, but I think the market was expecting it. The share has been quite strong coming into these results. It still managed to go up 2.3%, up R4.48, R191.62. It did see a high of R196 when the market was still, the oil share was still positive this morning.
Netcare Limited, this is a big one. Netcare, tell us about that one, because that was down 3.25%.
Yeah, I mean, look, the numbers look bad and what have you, and the sort of, in an hour and a half into the market, the share price down 25 cents, you thought, oh, well, that's bad. But as the market dragged on, they gave a presentation, in fact, at the JSE today, and the share finished down 3.2%, R22.48.
Yeah, indeed. And on the other hand, Greg, let's have a look at the top five up and down. If we go to sharenet.co.za, and if I refresh my screen, So Vodacom, Vivo, which we can forget about, Anglo Gold, Woolies, and South 32 on the upside. We know about Vodacom, their results came out. Anglo Gold Ashanti. I was talking to David Shapiro earlier on, and he was quite nostalgic about the fact that Anglo Gold Ashanti is no longer has any representation in the mining industry in South Africa.
Mind-boggling to think. And I mean, David's generation, and even towards the beginning of my career, the gold shares dominated. You know, if you wanted to be, you know, if you became a really, really, really good trader in the other sectors, they'd say, right, you go and trade the gold shares, because that was where the really tough traders were. Mm. You had the gold price moving, the rand, you had to know, you had to be quite well informed. And so it was a daunting place. But to think that Anglo Gold would no longer be, you know, and I mean, just in general, gold shares, you know, just fallen by the wayside.
Woolies up 1.8%, one of your favourite shops, because your wife doesn't cook very well.
Yeah, Woolies with their regulars. I'm slowly actually building a long-term position for some of my clients in Woolies. Just,
what, below 50? You
know, yes, yeah, just accumulating. Okay. And I think just given the course of time, they'll get on top of their problems in Australia. And it's quite defensive. You know, people got to eat.
Big move. Yes, they have. Exxaro on the downside by 5.2%. African Rainbow Minerals down 3.5%. Intuprop 3.5% weaker as well. Netcare, we've spoken about that. After their results, down 3.25%, Greg. And Sibanye, one of your favourites, down 11.98 suddenly.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about it before, but there was that book build where they raised at 1.8 billion. It could not have been timed better by Mr. Froneman, because since then, that was at 15.50. The share price has been nowhere near there. The palladium price, which I think we both agreed was fueling this run, that seems to have slowed a little bit. And it did some very big volume today, about 203 million rands worth of shares. Mm-hmm. And it had an interesting afternoon, because when the gold price started to tick better, when gold's up $12 now, it had a little run at 12 rand 50 back to the highs for the day. And then once the US markets open around 330, they just continued to sell at the counter.
Dollar rand is 14.33, British pound against the rand is 18.59, and the euro rand is 16.10, with the euro dollar 1.12.30. Greg, so not much happening there, despite the fact there are some things afoot on the international geopolitical front. When it comes to commodities, you just mentioned gold up 12. It's actually up 13 now at $12.99 an ounce. The Brent crude oil price, with the problems in the Middle East, not doing that much, actually. 71.17. It's barely changed on the day. Platinum is 8.54, which is down $12 an ounce. And palladium, look at this thing, down $37 an ounce to 13.13. Overseas markets, give us an update on the Dow, because as we said earlier on, this could be anywhere. It could be 1,000 points down at the end of the day, or it could be unchanged. But last I saw, it was about 650 weaker.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems there. The Dow down 590 points at the moment. So it was over 600 down, and that just continues. There's just so many stories coming out of the year. And Apple, I see the share price has fallen back a long way. They had a case ruling against them. And also, you know, I think 30% of their sales, you know, of the completed phones are into China. So these tariffs are definitely going to affect them. S&P down 62 points. Mm. The FTSE was down 23 points today.
I would like to alert you to strictlybusinesspodcast.com, and also you can go to sharenet.co.za. I've recently concluded an interview with our good friend David Shapiro, and it was one of the most enjoyable interviews I've done for quite a while. Not only did we moan a lot, like a couple of old curmudgeons, about the election, but we also bemoaned the fact that the football season is now over, more or less, apart from June the 1st, the UEFA Champions League final. It was a really, really good interview. So go to strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Yeah, he's always good value, David Shapiro.
I just tweeted it, yeah, for anyone, yeah, for people to have a look at, yeah. I'll listen to that at home. And I always love David's comments. His wisdom in the market's remarkable. Unfortunately, he's an Arsenal fan, so you have to forgive him for that.
I don't think you can forgive anyone for being an Arsenal fan, quite frankly. But anyway, your sentiment is well received. Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za.